Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, April the 19th, 118th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is board member from the Humboldt Municipal Water District, Bruce Rupp. Hey, guys.
Yes.
And his Chicago Cup. What is that? Something special?
My son graduated from the University of Chicago. My son
is like. Is that what that says? Got a little glare going
we
here.
We will tell the entire listening audience my son has an MBA from the University of Chicago.
Good.
And so.
Where's he working?
He works for a company called Neuberger Berman back in Chicago. He's a, yeah, they basically do wealth management and institutional investment counseling services.
Okay, well, it sounded like they might be involved with water districts. I just didn't know if that was.
No, that would be, no.
No, okay,
they could
good.
Be back there, maybe. I'm sure they are. Not out here that I know of.
Didn't pass that gene on.
No, well, no.
Thankfully. No. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time kind of getting an update on some of the different planning that's going on with the Water District, some of the long-term stuff, as well as some of the reality checks, if you will, that is going on at the state and at the federal level also about water. So it's a water show when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find a real simple, easy one. There we go. William Sapphire.
Oh, okay.
And you feel a little more comfortable about it now,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Okay. I know. Yes, I do.
No one flower can ever symbolize this nation. America is a bouquet.
I like that.
That's
like
kind of nice and simple.
We are a land of diversity.
And bouquets need flowers, and flowers need water.
Water.
So
and we're in it.
It comes around. It comes around. Bruce, how concerned are you or the folks of the district about the waterfall, the rainfall that we get in a year? I mean, if we're off 5%, 10%, if we're up 5%, 10%, mm-hmm. does that even register as anything of concern?
One of the fortunate things about the operation in our area of the water district is our reservoir is about 40,000 acre feet, which, because it's 40,000 sounds big, but that you can fill that reservoir up in 3 or 4 days of hard rain. And even in our driest years, and we're talking in the 70s, even before my time.
I remember those, the drought, mid-70s,
Yeah, that's when they ran the pipe over this Richmond San Rafael bridge to
provide
water.
You could see Whiskey Town in the lake.
Oh, is that
the old
right?
remnants who got down that low?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of a memorable period.
Even in that year, even with the mills operating at that time, we were close, but we did not reach a critical point. So one of the nice things about our situation up here is it just we are a coastal community and we get rain. And whereas the rest of California depends so much on the snowpack in the Sierras for their water in the warm summer months, we always have consistently enough rain to provide adequate water for our communities that we serve.
Has anybody figured out how little it would take? Or at what point
we'd be in trouble?
If it's 15 inches, 20 inches, I mean, something that's really, well, we get those in a month, but something that would really
the water district, the board doesn't, but the staff at the water district and the superintendent, along with the general manager, Carol,
The people who know what's going on.
The people who really know what's going on, they actually manage that. So they watch the rainfall. And in periods of heavy rainfall, we have two hydroelectric plants up there. They'll run a lot of water out the hydroelectric plants in order to a lot, they will increase the amount going out in order to generate as much electricity and generate revenue for the district. But if we get some dry spells, they will begin to cut back on the releases. And because we're such a small part of the operation of the river anyway, that is, we only, at, you know, we range from 3 to 15% of the water flowing down the river. We affect that much, you know, our releases do. Our releases don't really impact the fisheries that much, except in the dry season when that release really makes a significant difference. So changing those releases in January and February allows us to retain enough water, so we're very careful that we've got enough in those dry months, such as July and August.
There are some water districts, obviously, that are in areas that are less moist than what we are. Do they have secondary lakes or a series of, I guess, water retention devices or whatever you guys call, you know, instead of a lake?
Yeah.
So they release one into another so that they do have those backups?
Yeah, Trinity goes into Lewiston, which goes down into, into the, yes, they do. The big problem is, as I mentioned earlier, is that the snow, they depend significantly on the snow fall and melt for their water. And again, I think we're heading into another bad year. Thanks. Brian adjusted my microphone because I'm too far away.
With the snow melt?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these places, Denver, they just got hammered with a couple of feet, and some of the ski resorts that did the bye-bye, now they're open with a couple of feet of snow.
We've got it. I don't think it's going to be as good in the Sierras this year. I think we're going to be a light. I think the snow melt in the Sierras is going to be light again this year. So
in the political environment that we're now in.
Well, I can't build storage. The big issue here is storage. You know, if water districts could construct more storage capacity, then when they had the water available, they could store it up and they would have it. The problem with that is it conflicts directly with the environmental community because they see it as damaging the environment for the fisheries. And, there has been a history of that. I mean, we look at the Klamath River. I think, clearly we wouldn't be this far down the line if there hadn't been significant environmental impacts, and we know of them.
Do new dams – I don't know if there is such a thing. Do new dams have the same design as the old traditional ones? Because I would think you could just build this stuff in the fish.
Yeah, well, they
give
have
a
they
plastic have, tube to go through the middle of the thing.
They've built fish ladders for spawning fish since the beginning of the century.
How about a big tube at the bottom and it just runs the fish creek? Or the creek that fish would
until
the end of the lake, and then they pop out and they're in the same boat.
Well, I'm not up on all the technical stuff. The thing is, what's interesting is people need to differentiate. If you look at the dam, Matthews Dam, which creates Ruth Lake in our area, it's at the very headwaters. It's where you put the dam. It's important. That's what's critical.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. Bruce, the concept of storage of water, I would think, would be pretty basic. I mean, it's kind of like a road.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You may not want to have a road in front of your house or in the middle of your field or in your neighborhood. But everybody agrees we need to have roads. Okay. Sewer plant, I guess we could probably do the same thing. Stormwater. Okay. Same thing with water, you know, the lakes. Yeah, and it certainly has changed over time. There's been an economic development associated with a lot of them if the harbors and things are associated with it, and you can use it as recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some aren't. Some are. But how do you site, how do you properly site a dam?
Well, as I said before, you know, I think what you have to do is site the dam where you minimize the actual ecological impact on the watershed and still get sufficient capacity to make the dam construction worthwhile. And that's the balance you're going through. One of the things about dams, and there's an inherent dislike of them in California, particularly in Northern California, because of our history, is there has to be a reasonable tie between dam construction and water conservation. And one of the issues that the big issues we're fighting in California and continue to fight, not as much in the residential areas like downtown Los Angeles and San Francisco, but in the agricultural community where, you know, we are the breadbasket, really, of the United States in many ways, in the crops that we grow in the Central Valley and the Imperial Valley and so forth, is tying efforts at conservation in those areas with developing additional water storage in the mountains. And in the water project, Alderon Laird, who's on our board, could talk at great length about this. But you know, the bond issue that they're talking about. I mean, the Delta solution has been separated out from the bond issue in order to ensure because the bond issue provides financing for dams. There's money in there for dams removal on the Klamath, by the way, and dam construction too. So it's going to be not only is it going to be controversial because it's expensive, it's going to be controversial because of what it's going to construct. So I don't know. That's a long answer to your question.
Centers, they just kind of have, it appears that they grow into areas that really were not hospitable for population.
Okay. That's Mulholland, you know. That's Los Angeles.
Right.
Know? So there was no water in Los Angeles.
So we got water coming from somewhere. So why not put the water gathering efforts in areas that have the least amount of damage for the ecosystem?
Well,
I would think that whether you're pro-development or you're pro-enviro, you're going to be working hand-in-hand to put it at the right place that allows the development to occur at a cost-effective basis and at a place where it does the least amount of environmental damage. You know, unless you're part of the ZPG, how's that for an old phrase, huh? Zero population growth, folks.
Yeah.
Which means everybody who's here has a higher tax burden. I would think everybody would be kind of pulling in the same direction.
Well, one of the problems is, and it's a little bit of the problem. I mean, you know, one of the problems clearly is that the resources of the northern part of the state, which is water, is one of our natural resources, are being utilized by the southern part of the state for economic growth and economic vitality. But the northern part of the state gets really no benefit from that. So that's that. You know, so there are folks who see environmental degradation and no economic benefit and say to themselves, why are we letting this go on? Of course, from a political standpoint, we may not have a lot of choice because of the fact that most of the population's in the southern part of the state.
Well, now, if we invert that, though, and we say, okay, no water, what's going to happen to our food prices?
Well, that's it.
So obviously, we are benefiting. We're not benefiting financially directly.
Of course, we do.
The wine and from the growers in the valley.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. I mean, but people don't. You know, a lot of the communities don't see that. I mean, you know, there are people who want to take us back to the, you know, caveman days because everything was natural. And there are, you know, I think that's an untenable and not a reasonable policy position. But I think protecting the environment, I mean, that's what's great about the Mad River and the Water District. I mean, we have, it's a serendipitous type of thing. I mean, how do you like that big word? It's amazing that the folks who built this, I'm sure they didn't plan on it, but they built it in a way that is environmentally very positive, benefits the river basin, is good for the fishery, and yet provides very high quality of water. So, I mean, it just worked out that way.
It's called catching a break.
Yeah, they really, you know, it's better sometimes to be lucky than it is to be good. And I think also they had a lot of foresight. You have to give them credit, I mean, for that too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Bruce Rupp.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Municipal Water, Humboldt Municipal Water District Board Member. Just too many hyphens in there.
I know, it's big. Yeah.
Bruce Rupp is with us this
big
afternoon.
Big title, small job. Yeah.
What about planning for the Water District itself? Carol's shared, some of your compadres have also shared, that there are some significant things in the future. Yep. A fatigue system. We've got a less than viable, I would suggest, economic environment at this point in our area. We've got pressures coming on from the state and the Fed with regulatory. And you mentioned caveman in the last segment. Mm. How do we avoid caveman
going back
in 20 years when the system really is not functional anymore?
Well, that's what we've been working on for the last 3.5 years is kind of laying the groundwork for a long-term plan, because we have a water permit. All the water in the state belongs to the state. We've talked about that, really, and we are permitted to use it until 2029 as long as we utilize it all. So we're trying to develop a plan that allows us to do that. And what we're finding is, although there is some economic strengthening in this area, I think people would argue, there just is not a magic cure. I mean, we've got 60 million gallons of water we've got to utilize, so we're developing what we're thinking about. And we've got a large capital improvement or capital revitalization program. All of these facilities were built, you know, over 60 years ago or in that era. And although they've been well maintained, they're getting to their useful life. So we're going to have to, you know, do some rebuilding here. We've got to have revenue to do that without passing on excessive rates onto our ratepayers. So basically, the plan is find a utilization for this 60 million gallons, and that's what we've been working on, and we continue to work towards that goal.
Looking at the proposed study, I guess is what it is now, for the train. I mean, it's like nobody wants to say it's a train. Yeah, it's a study. We're thinking about a study.
Oh.
We're thinking about maybe funding a think about a blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. As you know best knowledge at this point, if the port was humming based on the plans, the train, the east-west train, how much water is incorporated into that? Do you have any idea? It's not a pulp mill.
Well,
but how much of that 60 million would be in play?
We're marketing 40 million gallons. We've got 60 million gallons available. We're setting aside at least 10 million gallons for in-stream flows, even though there's a study underway to see if it's beneficial or not. Our two fisheries board members know that it may or may not be, and they're leading that up. Then there's additional 10 million gallons, which is about our entire consumption in the residential side, set aside for industrial growth. If we had HSU, you know, their business department did a study for us, a cursory study, but it looked at businesses that use water and the most and so forth. And in our initial planning stages, it was clear, you know, I think we could put every brewery in the United States out on that peninsula and we wouldn't use 60 million gallons of water. I mean, 60 million gallons, pulp mills used to use a tremendous amount of water. Actually, at the time they closed, they were down to 50. They had a contract for 30, but they were down to 15 million gallons. So they had substantially reduced their water usage through economies. So there's no way you can, as was said among the stakeholders when they, in summation, there's just no way you can economically grow yourself out of this water problem. You have to find a use for the water.
Or a new user.
Or a transfer, yeah. So that's why we came to the point where transfer seemed to be the reasonable course of action.
Now, is that the baggies?
Yes, the baggies. Okay. It could be a bag, or it's a water transfer. It's water bags or a boat.
I hadn't even thought about filling up a boat with water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's probably pretty stable, huh?
Yeah. The problem is it's very expensive. Water is heavy. Water is very heavy. And shoving that water down the coast.
8.5 pounds a gallon?
Yeah.
One of the few things I remember from high school.
Yeah. Shoving that down the coast. And you have the Jones Act, which is, you know, American flag ships, you know, have to be, you know, if they go from American port to an American port, it has to be an American ship, which means, and there are labor issues associated with that. In terms of manning issues. In other words, on boats, I guess they would say.
You've done that a couple times, so you know the difference.
There's a
difference. Boat has the oar.
That's exactly right. if you talk to the Navy, they'll tell you there's a difference. Yeah. Don't make that. Yeah. But so it's expensive, and we've done some cursory looks at that, and it comes out pretty expensive. So, on the other hand, this is not a short-term process. We knew that going in, that this was going to be, we're building for the future, and we're working with folks down in, we have talked to people, and water agencies, I think would be the proper term, down in the Bay Area, and we're beginning to lay the groundwork. So we'll just see how that plays out over time.
Is there a marketing agent, Bruce, for the water district?
No.
Is that something that...
What we did was we hired an engineering firm called Kennedy Jenks, and on a contract. And Kennedy Jenks, does all kinds of work throughout California on water projects and is intimately involved in the Bay Area with the water districts down there in developing their regional water plans and so forth. So as a result of that, they have an insight into what water districts are doing down there, what they need, and which ones are having dry year shortages, maybe have problems with water quality issues and so forth. And from that study, we actually identified, some folks to go down and talk to, and that's what we've been doing. We've gone down and talked to them. And we're encouraged by those talks. It doesn't mean we're without challenges. Our cost of transport is high, even compared to desal, is what it looks like to us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even compared to desal. So,
now, if the train was running and the train was the delivery mode into the East Bay.
Well, it would certainly.
Does that bring it into a possible?
We haven't done any analysis of that, but certainly if you have an existing transport facility, it would make it more, more cost effective. So we really are looking towards maybe a joint effort down there. I mean, if we could bring, they're working on a joint project to look at desal. If we could marry ourselves to that, we think maybe we could make something happen down there. And also we're beginning to, and we think we're going to come back and talk with the stakeholders and share some additional ideas with them that I don't want to really, to be honest with you, share today, because I want to share it with the stakeholders first and make sure that we're on board and they see it as a reasonable approach. And once we've done that, then we may talk about some other things, which I would be, any of the board members or Carol will be happy to talk about at a later date.
Tickled, I think, was the word I was looking for.
Tickled,
but that's okay.
Okay.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more information.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. Bruce, if somebody wants to kind of follow this stuff or to become more knowledgeable or understand a little bit, other than needing perhaps a little time for more reflection, where do they go to try to find out?
Humboldt Bay Municipal District.
Just the website?
.com.
They don't have to go digging anywhere else?
Nope. Everything I'm talking about, all of the planning, all of the policy decisions of the board, all of that stuff is right there. You can find it there. And in addition to that, none of the board members are too shy to talk.
We found that to be the case,
yeah,
yes.
So particularly if you have an interest in learning more, and we meet the second Thursday of every month, you're more than welcome to join us in those meetings. I know,
It seems to be a real, I guess this is a bad pun, fluid situation dealing with some of the different challenges that the state is imposing.
Yes.
And what other districts are having to contend with that may not be a player for us, but may open up a window of opportunity.
That's absolutely true. That's the thing. You have to be, what we are trying to position ourselves such that we can take advantage of opportunities as they come up. So I can tell you, we addressed a letter to every water district in Northern California from about Monterey North and have done that. So they're well aware that we're talking, and then we have basically identified these other agencies. We've gone down into the Bay Area. We've met now with four water agencies and their general managers and talked about this, and we're planning to meet with a fifth.
So there's stuff going on in the background.
So we're working on it. We are working on it, actively working this issue right now.
Does anybody have a better name than East Bay Mud? I just think that is the coolest name for
East
a water
Bay
district.
No,
yeah,
no,
I just love
it.
That
no,
one.
No, I used to live in their service area, so East Bay Mud. They've been around a long time. And they have very high quality water. But
I'm sure they've got population pressures.
They have water shortage. They have problems. So, in the Sonoma, they depend, Hetch Hetchy, both East Bay Mud and San Francisco depend on the Sierras. They pipe their water across.
Maybe get some Giant tickets or some Ace tickets out of the deal.
Well, you're more likely to get that
than I am. You think so. Nobody wants to talk to me down there.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by, buddy.
You bet.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. Join us tomorrow. No. Yeah, tomorrow morning, shopping show, Monday afternoon for this. Either way, see you in a little bit.